Amen. Come on, let's just keep clapping and give God the glory that he deserves. Come on, more. Always give God more than you give man. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. So, Father, thank you for this time and this place and this space that you've ordained for us to come together to hear your word. Now, from your heart, through my heart, to the heart of your people, bless us. Bless us, bless us, bless us. Thank you for the Father's blessing that rests upon us today. And in advance, we give you glory, we give you honor for what you're going to do. I thank you, Lord, that the word that you've given us today will just move us, change us, rearrange us, and cause us to see maybe what we've never seen before. Let your word bring the entrance of light into our spirits, into our minds. And even while the word is being preached, let bodies be healed in the name of Jesus. Let minds be regulated. Let hearts be changed, because your word is not only letter, but it's spirit. And what it will set out to do, it will accomplish what it is set out to do in Jesus' name. And we agree. We agree with your word. We say yes and amen, and it is so in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together. Bless God. Bless God. You may take your seats in the presence of God. Can I tell you, it's just my pleasure to be back at home. Amen. To be here, and I bless Pastor. No, he's away, and we bless the team as they're gone to overseas, and I know that God is doing great things in their life, but I was coming here today. I was just coming. You know, I just coming. I just was in the area, and I just wanted to be at my church. When I'm ever in the area, I want to be at my church. Amen? Come on. That's good. But the door came open, and I'm always happy to bring a word to you. Are you blessed today? Yes. Let me tell you, you are blessed today. If you are breathing, you are blessed. If you have eyes to see, they may be, you know, we may need a little bit of this, but this is scriptural. This, Pastor Nick, this is scriptural. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Yes. So we can see greater, and we can, you know something greater. And I'm happy to be here. Thanks to the pastors and the staff that carries on the vision and holds the fort down while our lead pastor, the angel of this house, is not with us today. Let me go quickly to the word of the Lord. Is that all right? I told you I'm from South Dakota, where God lives too, Sioux Falls. It's a great place. If you haven't come, I extend to you to come on out and see about us. That's where the heads of the presidents, Mount Rushmore. Just give you a little bit of, you know, perspective there. And it's a great resort place, but I'm there. So, you know, that's the presidents in the Black Hills, but we'll be happy to have you there. And then as you're doing that, remember us in your prayers. Amen. All right. I have a message. You know, I have a message, maybe not just so much of a sermon, but I feel like I have a message today. And in light of the season and the time that we're in, and especially what begins tonight, very key, very important. My message, without me even knowing or realizing that this was the day and the night, it became more urgent to me and more impactful and more meaningful. And it goes along with what God wants to say to our hearts today from his heart. How many know that God knows the time and the season? He's the one that calls the times and the seasons. Before the foundation of the world, he knew everything. You know, and we're so happy that we can trust a God. My mother used to say this: who wouldn't serve a God like this? You know, a God that you can trust, a God that knows no failure, a God that has plans for us, a God that knows our beginning, our middle, and our end. And he says, you know, everything that happens in your life is good because I got you. And I praise God for his love upon our lives and all that he has planned for us. I want to do his will, don't you? I want to be in his plan, don't you? So the lesson takes me to the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew. And I want to read just a couple of scriptures from there. Jesus was answering a question that the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders, were asking him. It's a familiar passage, but let's look at it. The Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him, the nerve, right? and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven. He replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast." And he says this, "You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation looks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah." He's already given the signs. Jesus then left them and went away. If I could use that for a main scripture today to talk about, it's important to be able to not only know the season and the time, but to be able to discern where we are on God's calendar, and what God is saying now. I think it's so important to realize that we're in the times of the Lord and we're on God's schedule. As much as we want him to be on our schedule, we are on, if we're in his plan, we are on God's schedule. And you're going to be hearing more about that if you're a part of what's coming up, the preparation of the feast and the 10 days of preparation of what's going to be saying, God's going to be saying to us prophetically. And he's going to repeat what he's already said too. All right? Ecclesiastes says there's nothing new under the sun. So he's already prophesied. He's already forecasted what's going to happen. And then we're going to hear even more in the days to come. But I want to say to us today, pay attention to God's timing. Everything is all about timing, and everything works on a schedule. And even the earth, we were coming down the street. Thank you, Tyler, for picking me up this morning. And we were looking at the changing of the leaves. And I was just thinking how the vegetation and the plant kingdom and the earth, they understand the times and the seasons. And they're not lost. When it comes time for fall, there's an automatic thing that happens. The soil is now being prepared for the winter. It's an automatic thing that happens. And the earth understands the seasons and the times of the Lord. And it seems like sometimes we get a little lost or we forget about God's time and God's season because our calendars can change, but God's calendar never changes. So when I wake up tomorrow, October 3rd, 2016, there's some things on God's calendar that's going to fall in the ground, in the earth for me, out of the spirit realm into the natural realm. It's not going to change. My responsibility is to be where I'm supposed to be so I can receive what God has for me. Amen. Lamentation says that every morning we have brand new mercies. There's built-in blessings for every single day. And on God's calendar, there's promises. Everything happens in the fullness of time. We don't have to get so worried or so worked up about a lot of things because some things are just going to happen because God is providential. It's already planned. Jeremiah 29:11, you can quote that in your sleep. "I know the plans I have for you. And their plans not to harm you, but plans to give you in good end." So he already knows. We pray into the purposes of God. We war, and we're going to talk about that in a second, for what God has already promised. And so we can see what God has already said concerning your life. Your life is already written. It's already planned. We don't design it. We discover it. I say today, let's wake up to the plan of God. Let's make sure that his agenda is our agenda. Let's make sure that his desire is our desire. His expectation is our expectation. Just make sure that we're in his will and we're not just doing our own thing. Is that good? Let's take a minute and stop. And I want to say again, pay attention to the timing of God because God is about detail. He doesn't waste words. If he says tomorrow about this time, he means tomorrow about this time. When he said that at a certain time of the year, the stirring of the waters, an angel will come down, only one time that year, an angel will come and stir the waters in the fifth book of John so that people can be healed, delivered, set free. It wasn't when we got ready, or it wasn't when they thought the water should be ready. It was the timing that God says. So if you didn't get in that window or on that day and at that time, you would miss your miracle. You would miss your healing. And so that's why I say today that it's important to pay attention to the timing of the Lord for your life. And God always calls new seasons to come. And we can't do anything about that. When it's your season to suffer, we're going to suffer and go through. When it's our season to come out, we're going to come out. Amen. Amen? So we can't stop it. We can't stop God's calendar. So it behooves us and it's smart for us to discern. As he told the scribes and the Pharisees, he said, pay attention. You're smart people. How many know you're smart today? Yeah, come on. Give it to yourself. You're smart, let me tell you. Let me prophesy. You're smart. You're smart. Now, if you wasn't before, you're now. I speak the word of the Lord over you. You're smart. Walk in it. Open your eyes and see what God has said and see when God is saying what he's saying. We can discern a lot of things in the natural. We were smart people. Some of us are engineers, we're architects, and we can forecast, and we can see, we can watch patterns, we can watch natural indicators, but we get lost sometimes about what God is saying and what God is doing in our lives. Proverbs tell us to acknowledge the Lord in everything that we do. Consider the Lord, ask him in everything that we do, ask him, acknowledge him, and we don't have to wonder. He will direct our path. We don't have to lean to our own understanding. What about? Deliberate. I don't know. He said, just acknowledge me. Know that I am God. I call the shots. You make the determinations if you do it, but I call the shots if you allow me. If you allow me, that's very important. I hear a lot of times people say, well, God's in control, and whatever's going to happen is going to happen, and God will. No, no, no. God has a will. God has a will, and we have to submit to that will, and then you're good. It's going to come out right. And so we have to understand that he's not going to make us. He's not going to force us. He says, I present to you life and death, blessings and cursings, my way or the highway or your way. And so he says, now you choose. You choose. What do you want? You choose. You choose. You choose. I'm talking to somebody today. You choose the way of the Lord. And God says, I need my people at this day and time to discern the times. Where are we on God's calendar? Please, ma'am, please, sir, it is time to get serious. There's an urgency in the land today, isn't it? I mean, look, you know, I thank God that we're praying for what's happening in our land today. So the Bible lets us know that one of the key benefits of the prophetic is that it allows us to know a sense of God's divine timing and purpose. Amos 3:7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants. Likewise, the religious leaders in Jesus' day saw that it's possible to be in church or have the knowledge of scripture, but yet miss the timing of the Lord. You know, there was a parable about lost in the house, the coin lost in the house. You could be sitting here and hearing it, but not hearing it. You could be sitting here and knowing the knowledge of it, but not really paying attention to the precise, the timing of the Lord, of what God is doing at the earth at this given time. We can know what he did in the Old Testament. We can know what he did last month. But how many know that you want to be where God is now and what he's saying now? Because he's there's a rhema word, there's a fresh word, and there's instructions on the journey. I need you to really hear it and understand the legitimacy and the urgency of God's set time. God's plans will happen at his appointed time. Just say, at his appointed time. Say, there is an appointed time. Somebody has an appointed time today. God is going to talk to you about him being in your life in a greater way. This is an appointed time for somebody. Today, God has brought you here purposefully, intentionally, for you to hear something that you may have heard before, but you didn't embrace it. This is a special day today, I believe, not only for us individually, but corporately, for the body of Christ. God is saying, open up your ears because I'm sending some stuff down the pipes. Open. I release that today. I just command you in the name of Jesus to open your spiritual ears in Jesus' name. I just release that decree to open your spiritual eyes in the name of Jesus. Let the blinders come off and let the things that have hindered the work of God in your life be removed and released in Jesus' name so that you can know what God has for you. God has for you. I believe there's someone here that's going to experience and encounter a change in your mind today to say, you know, it's time for me to get on God's timetable. It's time for me to just put away whatever I've been keeping myself. I've been doing this myself. I need to move it out of the way and to hear God today. He that has an ear, let him hear what God is saying to you today. God looks for those persons, those churches that he can partner with him, that he can keep his word and to allow his word to be demonstrated in the earth. He's always looking for believers. He's always looking for those that have the same eye and can discern what he's doing so he can use them. Anybody have that in mind to say, Lord, use me today? Anybody there? You know, you may not be a preacher, you may not be a pastor, you may not be a teacher, you may not be a prophet, but you can say, Lord, you've given me these gifts. You have gifts that I don't have. You have people to reach that I'll never see. But God has given you talents and abilities, and you may think you're quirky, you may think you're not smart enough, but God uses the little bit of smartness he gives you. He'll use you to bring light to somebody. So that's what you have to be able to say, Lord, this is my time. You want to use me. This is my hour. My hour has come. Glorify yourself in me. As we're living in the last of the last days, what are you discerning? You're discerning the will of the Lord for your own life. What are you discerning? You're discerning the timing of the Lord, the spiritual fulfillment that God has spoken, maybe to you, maybe to your lineage, maybe to your with your grandmother or your father or somebody in your lineage has spoken and have prayed, and now it's the fulfillment of time. It wasn't last year, but it is now. And just in case you missed it last year, today you say, I'm not going to miss it today. And you've got to be for real with yourself to say, yeah, I did. I missed it. There were some opportunities that I missed. There were some appointments in God that I missed. There were some times that I didn't do and I should have done. I missed. But today, I am not going to miss what God has for me. That is who you are today. Because God says, I'm looking for those people. Ephesians 1 and 10 says, starting at 9, and he made known to us the mystery of his will. He's making some things known to us that we didn't know before. The mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head, even Christ. I'm in, people. I'm just not numbered. I'm counted. Count me in. Look at somebody say, count me in. Yeah, yeah. I just don't want to be numbered. I want to be counted. So when we read Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, that talks about there's a time and a season for everything, pretty much that's telling us to get ready. To get ready to do our part. He calls the times and the season, but he calls us to engage in his work. He'll set it up. Come on, watch me. He'll set it up. He'll orchestrate everything, but now he needs our engagement. He says, all right, I've paved the way. I've opened the door. I got the right people in place. I got the right connection. Now I just need your obedience. I just need you to be able to see that I'm working this thing, even when you don't know I'm working it. I need you to be able to be sensitive to my unctions. And when I say turn left, I need you to turn left. When I say I need you to cooperate right here, I need you to do that because I've already got it set up. I've already set it up. I just need you to engage. I need you to now put your hands on it because it's already ready. So when we hear those, there's a time for a season to do this and there's a time for that. It's true. And God sets that up. And now he says, come on, labor with me, work with me, because I need you to help carry out my plan. He wants us to be a part of this glorious work. Ephesians always talks about that too, that we were made, that we were created for the purposes of God. Did you know that? I know you're a wonderful husband, you're a wonderful wife, you're a wonderful daughter, you're a wonderful daughter with your mom and your friends, but we were created for the purposes of God, which that is included in all of that. But first and foremost, God says, I made you. I brought you in here for my plan. Jeremiah tells us that. He sets Jeremiah straight. Jeremiah said, oh, excuse me, Lord, I'm on your team, but I don't want to play that position. Not to be a prophet, because these people are not easy to deal with. And number one, they're not going to believe me. I'm too young. And he begins to plead his case to the Lord. And the Lord said, excuse me, Jeremiah. Before you were in your mother's womb. As a matter of fact, I had an assignment and I brought you here to fill that assignment. So before you even got there, I saw and I knew what you were gonna do. So mute, zip it, and just flow with me, because I know when it's time, your fulfillment of your time has come. Now, he had been working in the temple. He's been doing a lot of things. But there comes a time when you've got to be able to discern your next. You've got to be able to discern when it's time to change, when it's time to move, when it's time to be elevated, when it's time that God's saying it's promotion time. I know without a shadow of a doubt, it's promotion time for harvest time. I know without a shadow of a doubt, because you're in the plan of God and you're called according to his purpose and you're doing what he's calling you to do. You are in, listen, not only the church, but you individually are up. God set y'all up. Yeah, you know, that's why. He just set you up in your living, in your giving, as you give to his house. You're just setting yourself up. He's just like, come on, bring it on, because you don't know what I got for you. You don't know what you're seeding into. Do you have a clue? You're seeding into eternity. You're seeding into the next generation and the next generation. Do you not know? Let me go to that scripture in Matthew. Where is it? It talks about, I think I have it. It talks about in Mark, the 10th chapter. Listen to this. Jesus said, after Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you, Lord. 28th verse. You know, Peter like, Lord, do you know what we sacrificed? Do you know what we've given up for you? You know, you would never say that, I know. Do you know how much I gave last month? Do you know what I've been giving to this church? So you know, did you look at my books? Honey, what are you doing? Do you know how I could be? Peter said, Lord, we left everything to follow you. Jesus said, let me tell you something, Peter. I tell you the truth, Jesus said, no one, before you go to bragging what you did for me, let me tell you what I do for those that follow me. He says, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father, he calling a role, or children or fields for me, and the gospel will fail to receive somebody say this for me. Somebody say this next word. Do you know it? A tenfold. A twentyfold. Come on, read the book. Come on, help me out. He says, I don't care what you left, what you've given. He said, nobody that comes with me for me and the gospel's sake will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, he said, back at you, and fields, and with them, persecutions, and in the age, not only in the age to come, but in this present age, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and some of you that are last, you'll be the first. I don't know what that means to you, but that means to me, you can't beat God-given. No matter how you try. And God is saying, if you can discern the times, because there are times when he needs your talents, there are times, that, not always, there are special times when he says, I need you to step in. I need you to step in this right here, because there's a miracle coming out of that. And you may not can see it, but it's coming for your children. And it's coming. You've been praying for your grandchildren. You'll be gone, but it's coming for your grandchildren. He said, I got this thing. Everything that every person, everything that you're connected to, it will be all right. And so he says that you can't do more for me than I can do you. As a matter of fact, I get you 100 times. Now, my mother would say again, who wouldn't serve a God like that? You know, that's the best investment, God's business. Come on, God's business, God's church, God's plan. The best investment that you can make for you and your children. Now, let me switch gears right here to tell you that when you understand that you want to embrace the timing of God, there's a responsibility on us. Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by name, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'm going to do something. I'm going to heal this land. You're going to hear from me. So you got to be able to discern your part in the whole scheme of things. I need you to pray. I need you to get in here. I need you to see like Daniel saw when it was time for Jerusalem, for Israel to come out of captivity. I need you to discern the time and then do something about it. He went into sackcloth and ashes. He began to repent for the people to see that second Exodus. To see the deliverance for the children of Israel. He had to do something to see the fulfillment of it. And so we have to embrace change. Look at somebody say, embrace change. Come on, embrace change. And so there are times when we've left a lot of things, but it's okay because God's got something greater. So now understanding the timing of God, it's not always easy. So I'm saying to you that it's going to require a different kind and a different level of faith. And I'm saying, as the Bible says in the 11th chapter of Matthew, that now, since the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and since we're at the last of the last days, and since he's doing out his best shots, and he's becoming more violent, I think that we need to become more violent. I think that we really need to understand the urgency of the time. And I think that we need to move from passive praying to powerful militant praying. I think that we need to begin to pursue God like we've never pursued God before. And as a matter of fact, stop asking the devil, command him to take his hands off of your family. I'm saying today that God is saying that the people that are discerning the times, you are getting more violent with your faith. You're becoming more violent with your faith. There is an inheritance to be taken, to walk in. And so we see that God is saying, as I've called the seasons, as I've called the times, it is time for you to come up and understand that you're ready. You're not the valley of dry bones. You've been restored. You've been put together again. Now I just need you to engage. I need to activate this army. And I need you to step out even in times when I need your faith to get violent. That's all I can say. That's it right there. I need your faith to get to a place of absolute, I'm not giving up. I'm not stopping until I see the conclusion of the whole matter. I understand who I am. I understand what God has already said. I need you to get that kind of faith that says the book of the second chapter, I think it's the book of Luke, I'm pretty sure, or Mark, one of them. I have it written down. When I get to it, I'll tell you exactly which one it is. I'm going ahead of myself. But the Bible says when the man, the paraplegic man that could not get to Jesus, they tried to bring him in the front door. Jesus was preaching in a house, and they couldn't get through the windows. They couldn't do the front door, the back door. And so their faith was so violent. What did they do? They went on another man's house. Huh? Excuse me? In another man's house, they tore the roof down, opened it up, and Jesus said, oh, my God. I could say, and he saw their action. He saw their action. He saw their action. He saw their action. Violent faith turns into action. And he saw their faith. That was violent. The woman with the issue of blood in the book of Luke, the 8th chapter, the Bible says that they told this woman, she was a sick woman. She had been losing blood for years and a long time, but she kept pressing her way. She was a sick woman. She was at an infirmity, and they kept saying, get away, woman. You can't see him. And she said, no, you don't understand. Her faith was so violent, she did not care what the people said. The Bible said, and she said within herself, when your faith comes violent, you can't listen to what people say you cannot do, what you will not do. With somebody else, you got to say, excuse me. And you got to say, like this woman, I will say within myself, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'm going to be made whole. And so she would not take a no. She would not be passive. She pressed her way. To me, that was violent faith. The 18th chapter of the book of Luke, the persistent woman, the widow woman, that went to the judge, violent faith. Don't tell me to get away. I'm not getting away. Don't tell me that he's the judge that won't hear me. He's going to hear me. We got to have that kind of faith. That, oh, yeah, I will not be denied. Come on, somebody, just say, I will not be denied. Come on, say it again. I will not be denied. All because it is the timing of the Lord. And in the timing of the Lord, when you discern your season, you better say, I will not be denied. No, you cannot be first. You can't skip me in the line today. This is my place. Amen. I will not be denied. The widow woman, that she kept going after the judge. And they said, lady, move away. And the midnight hour, hey, Mr. Judge, listen, this is me again. I need you. See, it wasn't so much of her faith in the judge, but it was a faith in what she knew. It was her faith that kept her. She knew the judge wasn't going to do what maybe he should have done in the natural, but she had something greater on the inside of her. She had a determination that would not die. She had something that would say, you keep pressing, you keep moving, because this ain't going to break. You're going to get a breakthrough, but don't give up. You can't get weary in your well-do, because it's going to happen. In due season, if you don't faint, if you don't get up, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You got to get that excitement. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. It's happening. And you got to see it. And you got to see it. She saw it. The woman, she saw her healing. This woman here, the widow woman, she saw it. That's why she kept pressing. You got to see it before you see it, or you never see it. Can I say that again? You gotta see it in the spiritual realm before you see it in the natural realm, or you never see it. And so she saw that she had something that wouldn't let go, and she didn't. And after a while, everybody say after a while. I'm telling you, some of you are waiting for your after a while, and it's coming. After a while, that judge said, who is this woman that's getting on my last nerve? You know, I am just, you know what? What does she want? What does she want? Go, bring her here. What does she want? Give the lady what she wants. You know, because I don't have time for this. I just need some peace right now. So she would not stop. You cannot stop. When you discern that it is your time, and it is your time. The Bible says to us as Zion, he said, it is the set time, Psalms 102. It is the set time for God to favor us. That's where we are. This is the day of the Lord, people. This is the day of the church. We're not going out of here, you know, just messed up. We're going to be glorious. And we're going to walk in the favor of God. Like, and this is our time. And God says, discern it. Discern that it's goodness upon you. Goodness and mercy is following you, following you, following. No matter where you are, it's following you, following you, following you. Following you, following you. It's not a bad thing. God has nothing but goodness to bring us out. The way he teaches us, it may seem like it's bad, but it's not. He chastens whom he loves, doesn't he? And so the widow woman, she kept on until the man says, do it. And the Bible says, the judge, the unjust judge, avenged her of her adversary. And I say to you, how much more? How much more will our Father, the judge of all judges, the one that's not saying stay away, but saying, you know, we can say, Abba, Father, come closer. He's saying, come draw nigh to me. That's what we need to discern about our Father. He's a good, good Father. That's who he is. I want you to leave here today knowing the mood of God now, that your Father is a good Father and he's ready to release even in a greater way the fulfillment of all his blessings, his favor upon your life, because it is your time. Discern that God is ready to bless you and to move you. And so as we're in the position of the positioning of where God has us now, we can have great expectation of the blessings of God. Amen? Okay, would you leave here having great expectation of the blessing of God? Some of you have sown, given, and you're still here. I could ask you that question today. Why are you still here? Why are you still here? You know, this right here could have blew a lot of people away. I can't read that. They're going to want me to give too much. They're going to, that's too big. But you're still here. You know why? Because you are people of the promise. Because you are children of the prophets. Because you understand that you will not, as Hebrews 10 and 34, 35 says, cast away your confidence. Because you know it has a great recompense or reward. And after you have done the will of God, you just need a little bit of patience to receive the promise. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. And you've done the will of God, and you're going to see the promises of God. Amen. Not only for your children, for you, but for your children and your children's children, and even for this region. Amen. I bless you today because you are people that deserve to be blessed. You're getting ready to walk into the reward of the diligent seeker. So take this personal. Take this individual and know that God has sent this word today for you to move you, to cause your eyes to be open, so you can say, you know what? Pastor Judy's right. Come on, everybody, that sounds good to me. Say that. Yeah, come on, say, Pastor Judy's right. Yeah. You know why I'm right? Because I'm giving you the word of the Lord, and the word of the Lord is right. I want you to leave here with new expectation, with violent faith, to say, you know what? I'm not scared. You know, Paul told Timothy to fight. You got to fight for this faith. That's violent. You can't have this. You know, sometimes, you know, you said, don't mess with my children. Don't you mess with me, but don't mess with my children. Or don't mess with my mama. Don't mess with my mama. Don't talk about my mama. Listen, you need to contend for that kind of faith, that you value the faith that you have and let it be violent. Say, no. Don't mess with my faith. Don't mess with my faith. You can take my house, but don't mess with my faith. That's where you are today. Fight for what God has given you. It's a precious faith. It's a faith that overcomes the world. It's a faith that it can overcome anything in this world. Our faith is an overcoming faith because he has overcome already, and he's given us that faith. Put your hands together and bless the Lord for overcoming faith. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for faith. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. And Father, we scatter doubt today. We scatter unbelief today. We scatter discouragement today. We scatter disappointment today, God. We scatter everything that comes against your word. And Father, we lift up the name of Jesus as a strong tower. We lift up the power of Jesus that is a power that it can eradicate every other power. And we bless you today, Lord, for movement today. I thank you for change of hearts. I thank you for change of minds. I thank you, Lord, that you've wooed somebody in their spirit to come and to say, I'm getting on God's time. I need to make some decisions. And they don't have to say what the decisions are, but Father, they're ready to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to stand. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to be counted in. I've just been coming, but I'm ready to be counted in. I want to really quickly pray. You don't have to come to the front, but I do want you to stand because I want to just pray. And when I pray, God's going to release a grace upon your life. If you're here today, first of all, sit down. Everybody sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Sorry. But I want to pray first for those that don't know the Lord. Just don't know the Lord. Backsliders, you know, just kind of fell off the wagon, you know, you've kind of fallen away from your grace. If you're here today and you want to recommit your life and rededicate your vow, I just want to simply have our people to pray with you, just to connect, put you back in that connection, our faith with your faith, our faith with your faith. If that's you, is there one or two that needs to reconnect with God, that needs to re-engage? You've been in the battle, but you've just not been, you know, engaged. We want to pray for you. Let me see your hand. God bless you. I know it was you today. I know it was you today, too. Yeah. Can you stand for me? Is there someone else that would like to stand with my brother? I knew the Lord sent you here today. I knew that. Is there anyone that you know the Lord sent you here? You're not scared to say, it's me. Is there another one? Man, woman, boy, or girl? This is your time right here. This is your time. This is your time. Now I'm gonna pray for the rest of you. Pastor Nick, would you just right there? He's right close to you. Would you just pray with my brother? And for the rest of you that say, I'm ready to re-engage. I'm ready today to discern even in a greater way the timing of the Lord for my life. While he's praying and leading that brother to a higher height, now I ask you to stand. I want to pray a general prayer with you. God bless you. Amen. Were you blessed by the message today? Is it good? Good? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. Yes, you can give, bless the Lord for the message. I believe there's movement. Yes. So, Father, I thank you for all of these that are standing, these that are said. My eyes are open, my ears are open, and I'm ready to make sure, I need to make sure I'm paying attention to your time, your calendar. And Father, as we're on the verge of going into, God, your calendar, even this evening, not this morning, but this evening it starts. Father, we're making a decision now. We're just getting a little bit ahead of the game and saying we're going to open our eyes and we're going to be a part of what you're doing. And we're going to make sure that we're aligned with what you want us to be doing. And we're back in alignment, Father. I thank you that you'll show us the way and that as we make a decision right now to reconnect and to refire, Lord, I release a grace, a fresh application of grace. Your ability, your strength upon them to do what you've called them to do and to be who you've called them to be. I decree and I declare that in Jesus' name that we are leaving out of here a different way than we came. I thank you, Lord, that we're seeing more than we've seen before and we're ready to say yes like never before. Bless their children. Bless their businesses. Bless everything they put their hands to do. Move them closer to you. Move them closer to you so they can be deeper in your love. I pray that in Jesus' name, and I call it done. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. You are blessed, and it cannot be reversed in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Pastor Judy.
Wow.